You say it's not a shakeup, but you guys are down. And it makes sense that there would...
Says who?
Most of them. All of them?
Says who?
Polls. I just told you, I answered your question.
Okay. Which polls?
All of them.
Okay.
Michael Cohen with Breonna Keeler of CNN there. You've probably heard a lot about Michael Cohen lately. He, of course, is President Trump's personal lawyer, the self-proclaimed personal fixer to the president, the guy who solves problems, the guy who paid Stormy Daniels $130,000 through a shell company, the guy who also has Sean Hannity of Fox News as a client, and the guy whose office and hotel room were recently raided with a warrant by the FBI. But you probably haven't heard about Michael Cohen like this.
Yellow Cab. Табун железных коней на дорогах Нью-Йорка и Чикаго от Саймона Гарбера.
Long before President Trump, Simon Garber, who's heard there, was one of Michael Cohen's first business associates, the first in a long career that begins in a small law office in Queens, New York, and goes all the way to the White House. Ilya Marritz and Andrea Bernstein are reporters for WNYC and co-hosts of the Trump Inc. podcast. They've traced Cohen's career in their latest episode. Ilya, how you doing?
Hello.
Andrea, great to have you.
Hey, Todd.
And I love having you guys on to talk about Trump Inc. You've been looking into the long and storied career of Michael Cohen from the beginning all the way to this raid we heard about just last week. And Ilya, you went to Queens to look at the very early career of Michael Cohen. What did it look like?
It looked like a squat, one-story brick building in an industrial district near an elevated subway line. The place where Michael Cohen practiced law for many years and listed as his place of business is, in fact, a taxi base belonging to Simon Garber, the Soviet emigre taxi entrepreneur whose ad you played in the introduction. And we thought this is a really interesting chapter of Michael Cohen's life that is very little reported, but that does shed a good deal of light on who he is and how he's moved through the world. And what we basically learned is he worked out of this taxi office for many years. He did a lot of motor vehicle and insurance suits, and he came into contact with a lot of people who ran into trouble with the law. Michael Cohen, as far as we know, was never charged or investigated with anything, but he's been with disbarred lawyers and disciplined doctors and people who have arrest records, including Simon Garber, who was his host in that taxi base.
Everybody deserves a defense, of course, but are you suggesting that Michael Cohen's early career put him in touch and in league and in business with people on the shadier side of Queens business?
It's just very, very striking. It happens year after year, again and again and again, that he is associated with people who end up on the wrong side of the law. He's never implicated in any of this, and I want to be completely clear about that and totally fair to him. Nevertheless, it tells you the circles that he was moving in, the milieu that he was passing through on his way from that Queens garage up to Trump Tower 10 years later.
Michael Cohen goes from Queens and then down to Brighton Beach in Brooklyn. You followed him there. What about Brighton Beach?
Brighton Beach is super interesting. That is a center for Soviet emigres, a lot of Russian signs on the streets down there. Andrea and I went to Brighton Beach to check out a company called Avex, which Michael Cohen registered in the early 2000s. He registered three medical companies and three medical billing companies around that time. And Avex is of particular interest because at the time that they were handling large volumes of patients in motor vehicle accidents, prosecutors in this area, the New York area, were concerned about a wave of staged accidents happening around New York, basically schemes to collect insurance payouts. And the doctor who owned Avex was implicated in this in connection with one of his other companies. He was sued by an insurer. He also faced criminal charges that were eventually dropped. It's just another example of how every time you look a little bit under the covers, you see some kind of criminality or somebody getting on the wrong side of the law.
So, Andrea, now trace the line from Queens and then to Brighton Beach in Brooklyn and some shady dealings by Ilya's description over the years to Michael Cohen's connections with Donald Trump, who was building deluxe apartments in the sky and by the early 2000s was a famous name in New York and across America.
So this is what's strange, because we go from Avenue X in Brighton Beach, and Ilya and I were actually there the day of the raid, before the news broke. And it was so striking because it was so very poor, the street in Brooklyn, and so very far from the Regency Hotel and Rockefeller Plaza and Trump's Midtown properties, which were the properties of Michael Cohen that were being raided at that moment. And the way that he gets to Trump Tower, we don't know how they met, but we do know that Michael Cohen, through his connections in the taxi industry, began buying taxi medallions, which are the licenses that allow you to drive a cab in New York. And particularly before Uber, they were really valuable. At this time, they were worth hundreds of thousands of dollars apiece and rising. So by the early 2000s, he's accumulated at least dozens, maybe hundreds of medallions, and he starts to buy properties in Trump buildings. He starts to buy them in a number of buildings, and so does his father-in-law, who, by the way, also has a criminal record, and so does Simon Garber, and so do his other business associates. In 2007, there's a story in the New York Post, and it's kind of a strange story because it says, here's this guy, Michael Cohen, and look how many Trump properties he's bought. And Trump is quoted in the story saying Michael Cohen is very smart. This is the first time they publicly surfaced together. Within a few months, Michael Cohen is working at the Trump Organization. He's now executive vice president, which is the same title as Ivanka, Donald Jr., and Eric Trump. And even though he's a lawyer, he's not really part of the Trump legal team. He's making deals. He's doing mostly international deals for Trump in the former Soviet Union, but also spending a little time on some hyper-local deals and also working on the very beginnings of a Trump campaign for president.
Now, Andrea, you spoke with Adam Davidson of The New Yorker, who's been following Cohen's career for a very, very long time. And he talked about these early days as fixer, as deal maker for President Trump. Listen.
When Cohen starts working at the Trump Organization, he is a lawyer, but he is not coming to the Trump Organization as a lawyer. There is a legal team that's divided between people who handle the contracts for deals and lawyers who deal with litigation. Cohen's not doing either of those. He's not reporting to the general counsel. He's not really part of the legal team. His job is going out and finding deals.
That makes him, Andrea Bernstein, a fixer.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that one of the things that we found in our archives was some tape from a press conference in 2011. And at this press conference, Michael Cohen, who just a few years earlier was associating with various lawyers who were being disbarred and people who were being criminally charged, now he's standing next to the president of the Republic of Georgia, and he is announcing a deal to build a Trump Tower on the Black Sea.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Michael Cohen. I'm an executive at the Trump Organization. Thank you for coming and welcome to Trump Tower. 7 months ago, at the request of a dear friend of mine from Georgia, Georgi Skiladze, I traveled to the Republic of Georgia to explore several real estate opportunities on behalf of Mr. Trump. In front of you, the press, you have President Saakashvili, George Ramashvili of Silk Road Group, and of course, Mr. Donald J. Trump.
What's so interesting about this is that this deal also runs into trouble. It turns out that some of the people financing are being investigated for bank fraud and money laundering, and that Trump Tower in Batumi is never built.
Never built, and Michael Cohen's in Europe making these deals. There's also a question of connections in Ukraine right around this time. And Ilya, you can jump in here. I don't know if I have my timeline right, but there's a $350,000 loan that Michael Cohen sets up on behalf of Donald Trump. Connected to this deal, or is that something separate?
It is something separate, but Andrea and I basically accumulated a grab bag of, you'd probably write on the outside of the bag, that's weird. And this loan that you refer to is part of the that's weird grab bag, where just before the turn of the millennium, Michael Cohen somehow becomes the conduit for a loan from a Russian hockey player to a Russian woman living in Florida. The woman never receives the money. She goes to court. Years later, Michael Cohen is deposed. He's asked about his signature on the check, and he's like, I don't know if it's my signature. And then he's asked where that $350,000 went, for which he was supposed to be the custodian. And he says, well, there were Y2K issues at that time. I really don't remember. I don't know what it means, but it's just another sign of all the like really peculiar business he was in. So I think we do ourselves a disservice when we always use the journalistic shorthand, pugilist or President Trump's fixer. What he is much more complex, and it's not fully understood. I think we will be learning a lot more in the months ahead, though, as federal prosecutors start to go through the evidence they're gathering.
And let's talk a little bit about the present day before I have to let you guys go, because it's so interesting, and America's going to be learning a lot about Michael Cohen's role now for that very reason, Ilya. The Steele dossier, the famous, infamous Steele dossier, claims that Michael Cohen went to Prague before the election. Michael Cohen denied it, said he's never been to Prague. The Mueller team apparently has evidence to say that he did. How important is that, and why would he have been there?
The reason that Michael Cohen first came to most people's attention is because he was in this collection, this dossier of memos. And what the dossier accuses him of, which he roundly denies, and he's mounted two defamation suits in connection with it. But what the dossier says is that he went to Prague to sweep problems that were beginning to emerge because the collusion story was beginning to come out in the campaign. The dossier says he went to Prague to sweep that all under the carpet.
And meet with some Russians.
And what is so striking is that we now know for sure that he was sweeping something else under the rug at this exact moment, which was President Trump's relationship with Stormy Daniels. So it's interesting that the dossier, which was written years before we knew about Stormy Daniels, accused him of doing something similar, which is sweeping bad information for Donald Trump out of the public view.
Ilya, let me end with you. The FBI raids Michael Cohen's office and his hotel room with a warrant, which means a judge thinks there's probable cause of criminal activity. The president says he has attorney-client privilege. America's about to hear a lot more about this. What are they going to be hearing?
Well, the judge in the case is asking all sides, Michael Cohen and the president, who's also a party to this, and then, of course, the government, which is the Department of Justice, to make their case for what they should do with that evidence that has not yet been sifted through. Do they get a special master? Do they have a committee of lawyers look through it? Or, as the president has suggested, should the Michael Cohen side get to look at the evidence first,
the suspect,
which is an extraordinary suggestion? So that's going to be hashed out in the days ahead. We will just have to wait to find out more information garnered from that raid.
And of course, attorney-client privilege doesn't operate if the attorney and the client are talking about a crime. People should keep that in mind. Ilya Marritz, Andrea Bernstein, hosts of the Trump Inc. podcast. Guys, great to have you.
Thanks so much.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.